Lip smacking good. Hi, everybody out there in podcast land. This is another episode of Lip Smacking Good. Well, the motto of the show is, if your lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. And today we have a special lady who took the time out of her busy schedule to sit down with me for a little bit. If you've heard the regular shows, you have heard her on before. And this is June from Harlem. June, tell people how they can reach you and get in contact with you.
Hey, everybody. Hey, it's June from Harlem. You can either email me at mosesjune@hotmail.com, or you can reach me via American Softball. I'm the executive director there for American Softball, info@americansoftball.org. And I would give out my cell phone number, but then I'd have to kill you. So I'm sorry. No,
I don't blame you. That's right. There's a death warrant. Growing up as a child, where were you born?
Oh, crazy story. I'm an adopted person, and I was born on Staten Island, of all places. Oh. But when I was adopted, I was brought to Westchester. A silver spoon was shoved violently into my mouth, and I was raised in Elmsford, New York. Oh. Little 1 square mile town. But it wasn't like we was that far removed. We still had chitlins and fat back and fattening stuff and fattening food because we were fat.
Did you ever have to struggle with weight as a child?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
There we go.
Oh, how about now? Hold on.
Okay, there we go.
Okay,
you hear me? I think that was me. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you can hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, no problem. As a child, did you have weight problems because of that?
Oh, I was a very, 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 very heavy person. I used to tip the scales at 205 pounds.
Ooh.
Yes, yes. That is because I loved my hot pastrami on rye with mustard, double-decker, or, you know, on rye bread. I used to love my macaroni and cheese and my fried chicken. And although I was on track in high school, that didn't stop me from bringing a foot-long roast beef wedge with raw onion, mayonnaise, salt, and pepper, American cheese. Also, it was double. Sometimes it was warm, sometimes it was cold, with munchos on the side and a Coke.
Wow.
Because I was on a diet.
That's eating light. In your household, who did the bulk of the cooking?
My mother did, because my father had this weird situation where, like, okay, here's all of the leftovers, so I'm going to put some grease in the pan and throw all the leftovers in there, and whatever it was, he'd be like, oh, yeah, come on, y'all, this is good. We were like, no, Daddy, no. So it was Mommy with the most of the cooking, and she threw down. She threw down everything from ham and stuff. She's like, oh, you should come in here and you should learn. I was like, no, because you were here and you cook. So I'm not going to get involved in all of that. I'm just going to eat the food.
Okay, yeah, you're looking at Daddy like, Daddy, you ain't going to kill me. I'm not eating none of that mess you making.
Exactly. Daddy was trying to kill us. I don't know. He was probably like, six kids, enough is enough. Here, one of y'all eat this food. I don't know. No, I love my daddy. Don't get me wrong. I love my daddy. He's good man.
With six kids, were they all adopted, or some of them were children that they had naturally?
No, they adopted us all. I'm the oldest of six. They adopted us all. They started collecting children like people collect Hummels and Cabbage Patch Kids. So there's six of us all together, and the only one that was skinny was my sister Michelle, and the running joke in our neighborhood was like, oh, y'all eat all the food off her plate because she's skinny and all y'all fat. So, yes, I was a chubbins because I liked the food. Now, there was a time where I became the food Nazi, so now I'm down to like 128, yay, but I still love food. I even look at white bread and my nose is open. It's just, oh, my God, my mouth is watering now just thinking about all the food that I can't regularly eat like a little piggy.
Oh, what was the change that made you say, okay, I've got to change my eating habits?
I used to run a restaurant, and part of that is all the whole look-ism thing. And we're running around in like 6-inch heels where you're teetering with your fatty self on your little toothpick legs on your big toe because you got on 6-inch heels. That is so not a good look. So things had to change. They just had to change. I was tired of breathing heavy. I was just tired. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I figured, okay, if they say don't eat after 6, then I'm not going to eat after 6. If the food ain't, if it's not brown, then it's not right. So it's all brown. White is wrong. I don't want anything white. But the weight came off, and I can't be mad at it.
Oh, so
and lots of walking.
Oh, so you was one of them people that everybody looked at like, oh, you go just going to spoil the fun. Get the hell out of here.
Oh, no, I would sit around and just look at your plate of food and covet your plate of food. I just couldn't have it. I'm not going to make other people. It's like people who quit smoking and then they make everybody feel bad for still smoking.
But,
or the people who find Jesus. They'll say, oh, I found Jesus and you's a sinner. It's like, go sit down.
Right, right. That's understandable. And what kind of restaurant did you run? What was the name of it?
It was called Lola Restaurant. It was on 22nd Street in Manhattan between 6th Avenue and 5th Avenues. And it was like, there was live music, there was Lola fried chicken, there was big as your fist pork chops. I ate well every day.
Did you?
I'd be in the kitchen hanging out in the back. What y'all doing? Like, I don't know. We doing full service. I know what y'all doing. Y'all cooking the food, but I'm hanging out because I want to see the food, because I want to order some food. Then I'm going to eat some food. It had to stop. But I still love food.
Oh, and what caused you to, did you close it down? Did you just decide to step away?
I was just working, and all the working and being heavy just wasn't agreeing no more. So I had to adjust everything. But don't get me wrong, this is a show about food. So we can get down and talk about the down and dirty with food. Because just because I don't eat it all anymore doesn't mean I don't covet it. Doesn't mean I don't love it. Doesn't mean that every once in a while I don't walk past the place and smell it.
Right. Yeah. Right. And being up north, you guys are more into sandwiches and pastrami's and things like that. What is your favorite like pastrami place to eat?
Oh my god, I haven't had a good pastrami place in a long time. But I mean, Carnegie Deli, you can go down there and split one of them with your friend and every still have food left over. Now for me, it's more about if I'm going to do it, how much of them am I going to get, and is it good and is it quality? Because I don't eat like I used to. So if I'm going to go and I'm going to get that piece of Popeyes, I need to make sure that that's going to be good Popeyes. Ain't nothing worse than getting some garbagey Popeyes or Popeyes that's overcooked. And you done went through all this and, oh, I'm going to have a cheat day. And then it's garbage. So, yes, you don't want that.
We just had Popeyes just moved down here in Charlotte, like recently.
Y'all just got Popeyes down here?
Yeah.
Don't y'all like just have Popeyes in the South? Don't they like spring up like grass? I'm unclear.
But
I'm unclear.
The Chicken King around here is Bojangles.
Oh, I don't know. Something about Bojangles just makes me feel like very blackfacey, very soft shoey. I don't know.
You know what? And that's how I feel too. But what I tell you, because we're used to it, we just shuck and jive on in there and eat a biscuit. we don't let the name stop
yes,
us.
Sir, he's here to get us some biscuits.
Yes, it's hand in hand, the blacks and whites, and everybody be in there tap dancing for some Bojangles, because the Bojangles be on the white side of town, it be jumping just as much as be on the black side of town. So, and that's
right. Are the white red on the white side of town and the restaurants a little cleaner? Come on, tell the truth. Shame the devil, tell the truth.
You know what? A lot of times they are. A lot of times the service is better. Even the Chick-fil-A's are different. A lot of the Chick-fil-A's that I've been to is one particular Chick-fil-A. They always jump in. They actually sit down and the people bring the food out to them.
Oh, that's the franchise. You know, depending on who the franchise owner is, you know, you could do whatever you want to an extent.
Okay, because I was like, I ain't never seen this before. Bringing out my fast food?
Yeah, because they can do all that. They want to make sure that they can suck up and buy up all the other little franchises in the area, so they're going to knock everybody out the box with a little service. But, you know, outside of that, you'll see people who have, like, backyard napkins serving the food. Why? Because they ran out of money in the budget, and they couldn't get the little Chick-fil-A napkins.
Right,
sorry.
Right. Ah, okay. That completely makes sense. And what is your favorite type of pizza? Because I know pizza is king up there. What is your favorite type of pizza?
Pizza with pepperoni, extra cheese, nice, thin, crispy on the bottom, but it needs to be a little spongy on the top crust. I need that sauce to have like some flavor. It needs to have been cooked down, a little garlicky. I want some garlicky flavor in that sauce. Like there's some places that are just excellent with pizza, but this new phenomenon of the dollar slice pizza, what is that sauce made of? Misery? What is going on with that pizza? Stay away from the dollar pizza.
That's one thing about down here. We don't have dollar pizzas.
Oh, honey, they're everywhere up here. It's a scourge. I'm very scared. I think that's how they really trying to get us is with that dollar pizza. They know we can't afford $2.50. Yeah, you don't want to die. You got to give off the extra $1.50 if you want that pizza, son. Go ahead on and play around if you want to with that dollar. Put your life at risk. You might as well go eat a pack of cigarettes.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? And with all the different things that you do with your job and how do you stay healthy with the ripping and the running and the going? And I know that you actually work with the organization that's associated with Al Sharpton, right?
Yes, I'm the crisis manager of National Action Network.
How do you stay healthy? Because it's a lot that goes on, especially now.
There isn't a lot of eating. There is a lot of upsetness, and I'm the kind of person that I carry my emotions on my sleeve, in my pocket, in my shoe. So I do a lot of caffeine drinking, and then when I get home, I have like a little small meal, and then that's it. So am I doing it all wrong? Most likely. But when all of your jobs equal help the people, it doesn't leave a whole lot of room for, you know, like dining the way I would love to.
Okay.
But there are some restaurants here in Harlem that really, you know, they look out for me, like Sete Penny, Ms. Leah Abraham. She's always making sure that she caters nice stuff here for us, Nana's. So I can eat well. It's just sometimes with crisis, it's just, okay, I'll eat later. No, I'll eat later. And then later never comes.
Right. And so what I started to do, I'm so proud of myself, June. What I started to do, I have like this lunchbox that I had bought Roger a while ago, and he doesn't use anymore. But it's like a lunchbox that has like you know how to have like the little freezer thing around it that kind of keeps the inside stuff cold.
Yes.
And so it almost looks like a Tonka truck, but it is huge. So I put like my milk in there, I put my grapes in there, I do a fiber muffin, and I do yogurt, and I put it all in the bag. And I take it to work, and I keep my bag at my desk. And like the first thing I do is eat the milk and cereal. Then I slowly start munching through the stuff all day. And because I realize if it's right there at my desk and I don't have to physically get up and go anywhere, I'm more apt to eat better like that.
I have to be a little bit careful because I spend a lot of time here, like between 10 and 11 hours a day. And if I'm sitting in place and I sit and I eat like that, that's where that secretary spread come in. That's where that, ooh, where'd that 5 pounds come from? And, you know, I can't do it anymore. Unfortunately, I'm old now. So the spring back ain't what it used to be.
No.
I put on a pound too much, the foot hurt, 2 pounds too much, the knee hurt. Got the sciatica, you know, just like old folks. Oh, Lord, Jesus. So, yeah, so I tried to ease back on the eating, although, again, like I say, I love me the food. I try to cut back because I know that overall it's just not good. And unfortunately, I haven't robbed a bank so I can get everything organic. So,
right. Isn't it so high? Oh, my God.
Oh, I used to go shopping for every 2 weeks and spend $170 on food. Inexplicably, that same bill is now $283, and nobody talking about that. Can we talk about inflation, people?
Oh,
can we talk about a head of lettuce used to be a dollar, now it's $4? Same head of lettuce. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So, and even pasta now. You can be pasta Peggy, eat all you want, but it's going to cost you $2 now.
Yeah. It's like either way you're going to pay. And it's one of those things where things like that affect people. And when people say it is very expensive in America to eat healthy, and people want to disclaim that, that's the truth, because the less healthier it is, the cheaper it is. You're not going to get anything healthy off of the 99-cent menu. And I'm guilty of eating off of that menu. I ain't even gonna lie. Like, it's 99-cent for a reason. It's 59-cent for a reason. You know,
because even though that 100% beef is 100%, if you take it to the lab, it's only 30. And we don't know what that is. But but
we don't really know what's actually mixed in it with other chemicals and stuff they put in the food. So I've actually been doing trying to do a better job of that.
Well, you know, even if we try, they kind of hide GMOs, genetically modified foods. They kind of hide a lot of that from us. So you kind of got to play it by eye. You know, if you go in there, you're going to buy some legs and some thighs, some chicken legs and thighs, and they're about as big as your head, you may not want those.
Right.
Those might be the ones that have been injected with something.
Okay, and I realize that too, because I've seen, and I'll be like, this looks abnormal. It's like twice the size. It's like, who the hell is this? This is caveman food. Why is this thing so big?
Exactly.
Yes. Like chickens aren't made like this.
No, the chickens aren't made like that. Because I live in Harlem, every once in a while you walk past a room in a store and you see shenanigans afoot. There's a lot of things that go on with our food that we really should go back to hunting and getting our own. At least you know what's happening with it. My goodness.
Right. I done told people. I have came to the conclusion that I have probably ate animals that I didn't even know. The cat was good. The dog was good. The raccoon, whatever else was mixed in there, it was delicious.
Yes. We've eaten the animals, and the young children have been pumped up with so many antibiotics and everything. Our 12-year-olds look like they're 30.
Right. And the thing is, like, I am 35, and I remember I was about 25, and one of my cousins, she was like 17, and she is taller than me and bigger than me. She has like a 40 size in breast. And people would be coming and hollering at her. I'm like, look, you want to go to jail? But I'm like, she's not of age. You know, I look like the kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm beside her and I look like the kid at 25. So it's just one of those things where it's just all the things they put and pump into the food. You're like, you got to be aware and you got to be careful, even though it's almost impossible. But like this, because I watch The Biggest Loser. And all that health organic stuff that happened, I'd be like, you know, they spend their arm and their goddamn leg on that stuff. The average person can't afford that. You know, I can't afford no outer space blueberries that they be eating on the show. No.
Oh, no, I can't afford any of it. And then it's like, oh, well, you know, you could go ahead on and use your food stamps over there. You know, it's the thing. I was like, first of all, you people won't give me food stamps. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Most people don't qualify.
I know y'all don't want to talk about that, but that's all right. So now I went over there to the little, you know, the little market, because we're all supposed to be getting fresh vegetables and stuff. And I'm like, do you take layaway? Because I can't walk away with all this. Now, how about one apple? Can I get one apple? No, I can't take the whole bag. That's too much. Can I just get one apple?
Right, and they don't want to sell it to you like that.
No, because it's a package deal. So what, you don't have no money? Well, no food for you. And then it's like, wait, what? What just happened? I'm hungry. Oh, no. No, that's why, you know, if you watch my Twitter timeline, I'm always trying to find, like, helpful stuff for people, because everything now seems like it's a secret. What's in your food? Shh, it's a secret. You know, what's right. It? Everything is a secret. You got to be, like, put on your Inspector Gadget hat to find out.
Yeah,
it's a lot of brain power, right? Just to eat.
And also, I think that if they, you know, because you have consumer groups that watch this stuff, and you know, they be coming out and telling people what's in their food, and everybody want to get mad. Oh, we're changing. Yeah, you're changing it now because it's public, but you really didn't give a fuck prior to that.
And the thing is if it wasn't for social media, so you know how many people would get away with level 10 shenanigans because
right.
There's no one constantly applying pressure and calling them out on it, regardless how in the dregs trenches that some of these things can go. Still, you know, social media is what keeps a lot of things alive, because the media itself, hey, they're busy selling it to us. And lovely commercials where everybody's hair is flowing and everyone is smiling and no one looks like they got pain or upsetness in their life.
Right. At all. You were saying that as a child, you didn't really cook. Did you ever get into cooking, or you just tapped out?
Oh, I got into cooking. I got into cooking after college because there would be some starving if I didn't get into cooking. So then I turned into, I want to learn how to cook everything. So I learned how to cook everything. When I worked in the restaurant, I was like, I want to learn how to work on the line in the kitchen. So I used to come in on my days off and put on a little chef coat to learn more about cooking and measuring and stuff. But because June has a problem with numbers, That whole, like, doing recipes and working out that math, that's, like, scientific, and I don't get involved in that. I do old school. Here's a pinch of this. I'm going to pray on that. Let's stir this. We'll put it in the oven and see what happened at 350 in a half an hour.
No, because then you're not going to have the same thing every time. They're like, no, you can't do that, ma'am.
Well, no, you remember the dash and the love that you put into your food.
But the thing is, like, if somebody else had to repeat that, that's going to be the issue. Like, if you out sick,
I am not Martha Stewart or that Goop girl, ma'am. I really could give a damn. Y'all want to cook it? That's what Google for. That's how I found the recipe. Honey, June is not Martha Stewart. Hell, I'm looking for somebody to come clean my house on the cheap. I am not that lady.
You ain't no homemaker like that.
Oh, good Lord, no. Thank God my old man understands. Oh, my God. I am not domestic at all. Domestic, domesticated, none of that. No, no D's over here.
No,
except
no.
For my double D's, but that's the only D's. Never mind, let's stop. Food. We're back on food.
Yes, we are. And when you did cook, what inspired you to cook your meals?
Hunger. and what I wanted. And the old adage, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Right.
Because those are my early 20s. What am I doing in my early 20s? Listening to the world and thinking I need a man. It took another 20-some-odd years for me to be like, what? That was stupid.
Right.
So
I could have been doing other things with my life.
Oh, yeah. I did those, too. But still, you know, they're getting plate full. What is wrong with me? What is this with the plate full all the time with the life? When am I going to slow down? I got to go to Social Security. Maybe they'll give me some now. Anyway, food. Back to food.
What is the most unique thing you've ever eaten before?
Oh, I'm not one of those experimental eaters like, no, thank you for the sushi. Is it cooked? No. No, thank you. Like, I'm not one of those people. Like, I finally tried this African dish. I think it's Senegalese chicken dibi, D-I-B-I, and that was good. The little dibi sauce was good. It was good. But I was like, oh, well, this was a nice foray because usually it's got to be like Americana. Or like basic down south African American, you know, collard greens and black eyed peas. Like, I'm not very woo woo. Let's experiment. No, let's not. Cause it's nasty. I'm mad. I gave you my money, so no, thank you. It's something I know. It's something I recognize.
And I'm the complete opposite. I am the complete opposite of that. Cause
no, I'm not the one. Ooh, let's go to the food show and eat the chocolate covered roaches. No, you're on your own. I don't want to hear nothing about the protein. There's other ways to get that. But boom. Anyway,
but like, are the roaches dipped in dark chocolate? They say dark chocolate is good for you.
Exactly. I want some dark chocolate protein, but not roach covered. No, no, not that one. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you.
What food festivals have you been to? Or are you looking forward to, like, up there? Because I know they have plenty of them.
There's like this barbecue thing that they do in Madison Square Park where they set up all these different like pit masters from around the country. And you go, and previously it used to be like you paid like $50 or whatever, and you can go around and sample all the different food. Now I think you pay to get in, and then you still have to pay each one of the vendors. But they've got dry rub. Then they've got the moist rub. They got the marinades. It is just a barbecued pork red meat palooza. And I like meat. Yes, I do. So, you know, that's one of my favorite things. Again, the fancy food show, I did that once when I was working in a restaurant. And I was like, where's the booze? Because that's what I'm here for. I don't know what the rest of this is. I don't like this. This looks weird. I don't want that. Where's the wine tasting? I'm always down for a good wine tasting.
Yes, wine tasting, and normally it's cheese right behind it with crackers.
Ooh, good fromage. Ooh, look, French. Yeah, cheese.
Yeah, because we actually have a grocery store here, Harris Teeter. It's the fancy smancy grocery store down here where they actually have like a full, like a wine area. Where you got, like, they even have the wines divided by the countries, and they even actually have people up there to actually give, like, wine samples, like, where they give you wine and cheese samples. They even have, an area where somebody actually works where you can go back there and ask them about the wine and the kind of wines and things like that.
Oh, nice. So you can get a good wine and, oh, my goodness, or you can get a good buzz, one or the other in that space.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, they be like, you want a sip? Mm-hmm. I sure will as I grocery shop.
Yes, I want a sip of everything. Yes.
Right.
What are we working with here?
Right.
Yes.
That's one thing about the fancy grocery stores. And I have a question. Is Publix up there? Because Publix is brand new down here. Publix bought out Biloaf down here.
No, the only thing public we have up here is school. We don't have a Publix. With X. We don't have one of those.
So Publix is brand new. So I find out what they're about pretty soon. Because everybody said they're pretty good. I don't now. Your standards got to be good.
That Walton family,
too.
I don't give them my money, so I don't know what they got going on over there. I don't know if it's good, if it's dope. I don't know. I don't know nothing about what they do. I don't know because I'm not getting involved. I go to Costco, but they pay people fair wages.
Now they do.
And the food is, oh my God. The one up here in Harlem, I was actually surprised. They've got very, very, everything there is like really good. Like there's no distinction between the Harlem store and other stores in the chain. Sometimes when you get to the Harlem store of something, it's slightly different than the other stores in the chain.
Okay.
They won't tell you what it is. But you know it when you see it because everything is slightly substandard. I don't know. Maybe they think we, you know, don't have the money to spend. We looking for the money to spend on quality stuff up here.
Right.
You're not all poor.
Ain't that the truth?
People work. Everybody I know work and work hard.
And some work 2 and 3 jobs.
Oh, my God. I don't even understand the ones who do. I get enough with my one. Well, actually 2, but still, there are people who work 3 and 4 and still get they hustle on and still got to go shopping and still got to cook. I don't see how those people do it.
Me?
Well, actually, I do. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to cook dinner. So, yeah. Yeah. Got to keep the old man happy if I'm going to rob him. Yeah.
No.
So I get up and cook his breakfast in the morning. Like, I'll make him some curry chicken or some barbecue chicken or do some sausage and peppers for him or some lamb chops.
Oh. You
fix
do
him a little love lunch
him.
A little dinner
ain't
and leave a little
sweet?
Note.
Ain't that sweet? Showing love.
Oh. Yeah, I got to show some love because that's what happened. I'm going to tip you up by your ankles and shake you till the change fall out. I better be coming with something.
Yeah, you better bring something to the table. You show better. Yeah. What?
Yes, yes, yes. Let me lower you into a false sense of security with the food. Don't worry. No, I ain't putting nothing in it. Just go ahead on and eat, baby.
I ain't trying to kill you.
That's right. This is not like Investigation ID. This ain't one of those shows. Stop. I'm not snapped, okay? This okay. You're all right. You can eat it.
Right. I do not want to be on it, and you're not, because if you're on it, that means you're dead, so you don't got to worry about it.
No, if I was on it, I'd probably be in an orange jumpsuit trying to still purport my innocence. I know my life, you know. I take the things I got to take so that this way I don't end up in prison. So, no, I don't poison my old man's food. I feed him, and I put love in the food,
Aww. And
that's all. And see, I said it in public, so now you don't have to look for me if something happens, people.
Go back. something happened. I'm going to play this recording to him. Like, see, Your Honor, this is not her.
Now I have, how many of y'all got millions of listeners? Now I have millions of witnesses. I love he. I know put poison in his food, though.
Right. Everybody out there listening, you are a witness now. Y'all might be called to the jury. You are a witness.
Yes, and you're welcome to email me, MosesJune@hotmail.com. Let me know that you're a witness. Thanks very much.
Right.
I might need a statement.
right. Just to be sure. What is your favorite thing to eat that you don't make?
Ooh, that I don't make. Oh, pineapple upside down cake. Mm. I haven't had a good make it in the black skillet upside down pineapple with the brown sugar just melted all into it and a little maraschino cherry in the
yes.
Haven't had one of those so good. See how I'm missing it? I'm missing that. I need a good one. And I look at some of them. Sometimes I go places and I see it and I'd be like, but if it's wrong, I'm going to be mad. And then I'll hate like pineapple upside down cake forever. Do you have that happen where you're like scared to eat something because it'll make you hate whatever it is forever?
You know what? For me, and I guess my mind is a tick. If I taste it and it's nasty, I go, well, I just don't like the way you made it. That's how my mind ticks. And then I will try a different version of it. And I might like a different version of it because, like, for me, my biggest thing was avocado. Now, if you take...
Oh, it tastes green and it feels weird.
You know what? If you take avocado and you slice it... I eat it in sandwiches. I'll eat it in salads. I can eat avocado. But if you take it and you would like grind it up and make guacamole out of it, turned me off. I was like, what is this mess? Oh.
guacamole, hummus, all of that stuff. No,
you know,
no. Now, see me when I'm 70, when I got like the uppers and lowers in, where food like that would be helpful to me because it's soft.
You know,
but right now I still got my originals. I can chew.
Right. And the thing about it is that I really have found that I had to find the right kind. And people used to bring it to me all kinds of ways. And I was just like, I guess I don't like it. I finally found the right kind that I like. And also, I got some hummus that I like because I didn't realize they come with all these flavors and stuff mixed up in it. Because somebody, I was like, I don't know what hummus is, but it's delicious. And somebody had told me it was chickpeas. I was like, what the hell is a chickpea? So I had to go find out what that was. And, it's actually like these little small tiny peas they take and they grind it up to make hummus. And if you find the right
flavor,
I'm
not thrilled. I'm not thrilled with
really
that.
Good.
I'm like, okay.
You can put it on crackers.
No.
It's actually really
no, I'd
good.
Rather just have the crackers. Again, that's usually the crackers are made with something white, which makes it wrong, so I can't have white in my house.
Do they have wheat crackers?
Yeah, they have the wheat, but you know there's something missing with that sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes you get, and you be like, oh, I can't fall in love with this piece of cardboard.
Right. But it don't have that same crunch.
No, and it don't have the same mouthfeel, and it don't have the same flavor palette. Like, the palette is different. It's a little different. So they try. There's certain ones that are good. Like, the Ritz ones, I know, yeah, it's low brow, but the Ritz ones are good. The whole wheat ones, those are good. For a little cheese, a little Veuve Clicquot on the side, because, yes, for those who want to know, Veuve Clicquot is my favorite. No, I'm not exactly the cheap date. Please email me. Let me know if you're willing to get me a bottle of Veuve Clicquot. Orange label.
Y'all,
that goes so well with everything.
Y'all know how to reach it now. Y'all know y'all need to email her about being a witness and go ahead and email her about this, too. You're going to be getting a lot of emails.
That would be lovely. I like emails. As long as, you know, there are people who are happy and they want to share some. Wait a minute. You know what I realized in this whole thing, Karen? I'm mentally ill because obviously I'm not open to tasting new things or trying new stuff.
Oh, that's
like,
nice.
I just sound crazy and you sound like I'm adventurous and I try new things and June's just crazy.
No,
oh
no,
my God,
I never said
couch
that,
and a
sweetie.
Tissue.
No, I've met a lot of people that are like that. I have a friend of mine. She don't eat eggs.
Oh, eggs are wonderful, especially the Eggland's Best. Oh, my God.
I love you, too.
Oh, but... and you can make a good deviled egg. You know what's good is a good deviled egg with the paprika on top? Oh, my God. I haven't had a good deviled egg since, you know, those days of the backyard barbecue with the family
right.
Where they put the children in another room. So you'd be trying to sneak back in to see what the adult's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't like it is now where you're sitting right up under mommy chin when she's talking that ratchet crap. But, you know, back then you had to go in a different room.
Right.
Sneak around if you wanted to hear the adult ratchet.
And that's the way it should be. But no, sweet. Don't. No, you just have a love for food. And regardless of how big or small your range or variations of food, just to see the love that you just expressed to me about them eggs, it's enough for me, baby.
Oh, my God. There's just certain things that I really hurt myself on. There's certain foods I can't eat anymore because I just overate them. You ever do that where you just eat whatever
yeah.
it is? You eat so much of it that it's just like you can't even look at it anymore. It's sickening.
Yeah, because for me, like, you have to know yourself. I know me. I have a sweet tooth. So for me, if I get a craving, let's say for cake, I will cut me a small slice and I'll eat the cake. I'm fine. But if I deny myself the cake when I initially want it and keep denying myself the cake, when I do eat it, I'll eat the whole cake.
Thank you very much. Now you have proven scientifically exactly what it is. If you don't satisfy whatever that is with a little bit of whatever your body is looking
wow.
for, you turn into the maniac. And see, that's exactly what I did over my little mini vacation. I turned into a friggin' maniac. I took out pie crust, the pie crust, the already made Pillsbury pie crust, rolled it out. Put white sugar and brown sugar on it, a couple of pats of butter, and put that in the oven. Heated it up and ate it. Ate the whole thing. Why? Because I didn't go with that urge that I had for something else earlier. And I could have alleviated all of that and not ate a whole pie crust full of sugar and butter.
That's right. Okay, see, and I know that that's the issue I have, so believe you me. Or what I do, I substitute things. Like, since I have a sweet tooth, Roger has some chocolate almond walnuts. So you know what? I'll eat his chocolate almond walnuts to get that sweet taste out. No, cause I just want the sugar. Or either ate bananas, ate apples, ate grapes, ate stuff with natural sugars to kind of hit that sugar craving without just pure sugar.
Oh, see, my old man is a diabetic, so, and unfortunately, I can't just be all willy-nilly with the sugar, because if there's temptation in the house, diabetics will eat it anyway, even though they know they shouldn't, and then they're like angry little elves that you just want to punch in the face, and it's just like, why are you angry? And it's like, oh, yeah, your sugar's up. So I have to, you know, hide sugar like it's dope. I'm like, oh, my God, let me hide the sugar, because he'll eat it. Because diabetics, people who can't have something will eat whatever it is they're not supposed to have because they can't have it.
Right, and your body has tendency to crave it the most. What is your favorite thing to eat that you do make?
Oh, that's another good question. Oh, my God. The last thing that I made that was just absolutely phenomenal was I got a boboli crust, right? Mm-hmm. And I took... I had some chicken breast that I had left over, so I chopped that up, and I cooked down some sage sausage, the sweet sage sausage, mixed those two meats together with some peppers and onions, made a sauce with some, with the tomato sauce, and then I cooked it down, put it on the boboli, popped that in the oven with some mozzarella cheese on top, homemade pizza. That was good.
That sounds good.
And I made
good.
It myself.
That sounds good. And what you said good, baby, that was from the heart.
I told you I'm a foodie. Just because I can't eat everything I want, and I try to exhibit some type of discipline. Anyway, still, I try. It don't always work, and I try to find ways around. So instead of going and eating like a whole pizza that I got from the pizza joint, and it's like $15, and now I'm like that. I get the little boboli and put what I want on it, and it doesn't turn out to be so bad. And I drink plenty of alkaline water so I can flush anything bad that I've done. Alkaline water is the bomb.
That's a good thing. I'm gonna have to check that out.
Alkaline water is a great flush. Smart water is actually, if you want to do like just a short body flush, just a flush. Smart water is a perfect, like, quick little flush.
Hmm. Okay, I have to check that out. What is your favorite food that you stash from others? You go, this is mine, and I ain't sharing.
Chocolate-covered almonds.
Oh,
chocolate-covered almonds that have, like, the really good, expensive chocolate on it. That or turtles.
Yes,
oh my God.
Turtles are everything. I freeze
oh
mine.
My God, turtles. Mm. Oh, I'm sorry. There I go with the drooling and carrying on. Brings back good memories, too, because my mom, she's let me cut school. And we'd go and get pastrami sandwiches and turtles and come back home and watch soap operas and eat pastrami sandwiches and turtles.
Aww.
That was a good memory, Karen. Thank you.
Aww.
Turtles. Everybody get some turtles. You can get them by the pound. That's some arugula.
Yes, and it will make your life better. You ain't lived until you've had one.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you can ruin your teeth with some good turtles now.
Yes, you can.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, you can. Be sure you brush your teeth afterwards so you can keep for your original set. But yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you don't want to have to do the implants or the teeth jump out your mouth situation, people. Hold on to your regular teeth. $10, you can even get one of those like with a motor toothbrush. Don't play. Don't play.
Right.
Two times a day, folks. Two times a day.
Right when you get
your teeth like your feet, the most important parts of your life.
Ain't that the truth? They see your teeth. They, you might can hide your feet, but they see your teeth.
Go ahead on and lose a toe. Tell me how you walking.
Oh, no.
Go ahead on stump a toe. Tell me how you feel about life.
It ain't the same. I've done it before. You'll be highly upset. You will be highly upset. What is your favorite thing to drink? Alcoholic, non-alcoholic, or both?
Okay, non-alcoholic, I would have to say my Kangen water because I like that flush and I like that I feel like I have energy and I did good things drinking that water.
Okay.
Alcoholic, Veuve Clicquot. Champagne all day, every day. Please miss me with the cheap. I'm allergic. Anyway. Yes, I can't do it. I can't do it. Listen, first of all, people, if you are going to drink, when you go out, the way you don't have blackouts and shenanigans, stay away from the well. Well liquor is the devil. absolute and above. Save your money. Don't go out and cheapen your whole experience and end up on the floor with your skirt around your neck, ladies. Don't end up, sir, waking up with, ooh, what happened here last night? Stay away from the well. There's nothing good going on in the well.
Nothing good going on in the well, y'all.
Nothing going good going on in the well. The well will kill you. If you're not ordering something that's up on a shelf and even a little higher, because sometimes that absolute gets sketchy.
Ah.
You're like, is this a hangover? What is happening? No. Not like I'm a professional drinker. I'm just saying, you know, I know my tolerance level is sometimes it's iffy. Again, stay away from the well. You don't learn anything from this whole experience that Karen and I are having. When you go to the bar, stay away from the well. Save your money and get quality liquor. Save yourself. Like old school Alanya, because she ain't coming to fix your life, boo. Old school. Save yourself.
What is the worst thing you've ate and or cooked?
Oh, one of the worst things I cooked. Oh, my God. Okay. Can I tell you how I murdered this ham? It was so dry, and it was crackly dry, and it was, didn't have no flavor because all the flavor cooked out of it. My mom, it went away, and I called myself cooking. This is why you should pay attention, people. When people are cooking, they want to teach you something, write it down, because this ham was embarrassing. And when I took it out the oven and it by accident fell off the pan, it hit the hard floor hard. It didn't break apart. It just said thud. Yeah. It was like a boulder. I cooked a little boulder that used to be an expensive ham and turned into a boulder. That was the worst thing ever. Oh, and the pot of beans that I burned. I have a problem with beans. I love beans. I cook beans when I pay attention. I'm not paying attention. We have burnt beans, alarms going off, and people, neighbors going, are you okay? So, no, I try to pay attention with the beans.
How about eight as far as somebody else giving you to eat?
I go through the look and the smell, and if the look and the smell ain't right, you know, I just ate. So I really don't get caught out there with bad people food shenanigans. Because I just ate on you in a heartbeat and be starving, belly pressed to my back, be like, oh, my God, I'm so hungry. But if it don't pass that smell test or that eyeball test, no thank you. Because there's some people who got some strange cooking habits. They want to have their dog in there tasting stuff, or they cat roaming around, or, you know, they got issues with dishwashing liquid and hot water. I don't know, and I don't care.
Oh, Lord.
If I look and it don't look quite right, I just ate. Thank you, though. Thank you. I appreciate you. Don't appreciate that food, but I appreciate you. I'm a horrible human being. See, not only do I need mental health, now I'm horrible. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Why is it I get with Karen and I'm just horrible?
No. We love you. We love you very much.
Oh, y'all are my favorites. You know that. Y'all is like black love all day, every day.
Oh, Lord. Black love all day.
Black love. Yes. I will always throw that in when I talk to you because y'all are a shining example of what to do, people. What to do.
And we really do love each other. As much as they say I beat them and stuff, we really do love each other.
But that's what it's supposed to be. I don't see nothing wrong with it. That's what's going on in my house. What's going on, people out there? What's happening? You're doing it all wrong. Stop. Reverse. Don't repeat that. Do something different. And laughter is definitely it. If y'all ain't laughing all the time, see, that's why Karen's still with Rod, because all they do is laugh.
Or you better laugh because you're
crying.
They laugh
at us.
They
laugh at each other. They just laughing. They laughing at everything, and they're not taking it all so seriously.
You have a heart attack if you take everything to heart.
I don't already have 5 mini strokes. I plan on never being there again. So, yes, I have a sharp tongue but a sly wit, and I try to crack myself up all day.
I don't blame you. I do not blame you. Wow, 5, sweetie. How did that happen? Like, just too much stress?
Oh, I was working at the Board of Elections. It was 2004. Working in your local Board of Elections, if you're ever lucky enough to get a job there because you want to work in service and give back, if it's election time, that's one of the hardest jobs you'll ever do in your life. Ever, 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 ever. And I was not prepared to not sleep. And I just burnt out. I was at work. I was talking to my coworker, and it was like somebody pulled down a shade. And my speech got very gobbledygook. And I got there, and they were like, oh, you're having a migraine. Oh, no, you're having strokes. We have to keep you. It's like, okay, incompetent people. Thank you. I won't name the hospital. They're trying to do better things now, so I will not disparage them. Almost killing my ass. But that's all right. I will survive.
Yes, you will. So those out there, people, don't be stressing out. Laugh, eat, be happy, be merry, and take care of yourself out there.
Yes, yes, yes. And sex is good, too.
It is.
That has to be added to the food. You can't, like, have one without the other. Even if it's with yourself. Ain't nobody say who it needs to be with now. I ain't, you know, point nothing out. No. Do what you do with who you do or how you do. Right. But just do.
Get down how you get down.
Yeah, there it is. Bounce, bounce.
Right, right, right. And before we go, could you tell the people how they can get in contact with you once again, sweetie?
My email is first and last name MosesJune@hotmail.com or info@americansoftball.org. And if you have to go on.
Uh-oh. June, did I lose you? Hello? Uh-oh. Pause it. All right. And before we leave, tell everybody how to get in contact with you again.
Oh, my email is MosesJune@hotmail.com. The other email address you can reach me at is info@americansoftball.org. And if you're so inclined, please go to our website, americansoftball.org, and see what that's about. And if you're having other issues, and those of you who know my other job know what kind of issues I'm talking about, please feel free, give me a call here. I'll help you because I like to help people. That's what I do. I like to help people, and I like food.
Oh, thank you. This has been a treat. This has been an honor, and I have had a blast. And I hope everybody out there listening has had a blast. And guys, contact her. Let her know that we love her and we support her over here in the Black Yahoo Tips Land. We got to get you back on a regular show again because that was fun.
Yes, that was fun. And I promise I'll try to be a little bit more ratchet, you know, because I see social media be trying to destroy lives. I be trying to dial back my ratchet. But sometimes it's hard to tuck it in like RuPaul. Sometimes it just be coming out.
Right, right. Yeah, just be who you are. So I thank you, June, and for everybody.
Thank you, Karen. I love you.
I love you, too. So for everybody out there in the Black Yahoo Tips Premium Land, until next time, have a good one, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. Ciao, ciao.